Ready? All right. Hello and welcome to the Risk It with Christy podcast. This is Christy. Today we are here with a very special guest, Matthew Guerra. I met Matthew at Legendary Fitness. We both worked out there together. We started following each other, and I was quickly inspired at how genuine-hearted he is, at what a badass he is, and how passionate he is. So thank you so much for being with me here today and allowing me to interview you and just ask you all of the questions. So for everyone listening in and watching in, a quick intro on Matthew. So Matthew is the founder of Unleashed Potential Miami, where he provides personal training services to the special needs community. I mean, how badass is that? Matthew is a lifelong athlete. He played baseball and is currently practicing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He's also a former behavioral, I don't know why that word is so hard for me, behavioral technician, RBT, and with a deep passion for helping others, particularly in the special needs community. Matthew is currently on the Young Professionals Board for Casa Familia and also collaborates with the JCC. He has facilitated programs with the University of Miami's Center for Autism and Related Disabilities Fitness Program, along with other schools as well. And I have seen you out there. You're out in the community. You're nonstop. You are very passionate about your mission and what you're doing with Unleashed Potential. And I mean, I can see why. So how are you today? Let's stop by letting you talk.
Yeah, no, I'm doing great. I'm just very grateful to be here with you talking and being on your podcast, being able to share more about, you know, what I do for work and what I feel like is my purpose and mission, you know. So just grateful to be here.
Awesome. Good. Well, we are grateful that you're here. Before we get into Unleashed Potential and just how amazing that is and everything you're doing with that, because I definitely want to go into that portion of it, I want to first get into the mentality of before that thought was even born. Okay. So I want you to take me a little bit behind the scenes of, you know, what were you doing? I know you were previously a behavioral technician. You were working in that. Was that do you think that was the first spark of where Unleashed Potential came from?
Yeah.
What was your mind frame?
Yeah. So actually not at all. So, so growing up, my dream was to be a professional athlete. I wanted to play baseball. Unfortunately, that never became a reality, you know, injuries. And also growing up, I did struggle a lot with my mental state, my mindset. And so I think that was kind of like a foundational thing for me where I really wanted to help people overcome things that they doubted in themselves through anxiety and struggles. So when I went to college, I went to UCF, Go Knights, in Orlando. And initially, I wanted to have my own private practice. I wanted to be a psychologist, and I had an internship there at a clinic. And I was there for about a year and a half, 2 years. And I realized that this might not be for me, right? It was very heavy, very dark, a lot of sad things that you're seeing all the time. And it just kind of weighed on me.
That's a very, like you said, heavy job. You have to be so good with your own mental stability to be able to take on all of that and not let it affect you. So yeah, I mean, I get it.
Initially, when I was there, I wanted to be the best that I can be at it, you know, just learning as much as possible, you know, and I would read the files that I had access to and the stories of the people that were there. And after like a couple weeks, I'm like, I can't do this to myself. Because it's just bringing me down every time I read it. And it's just, it's very unfortunate and what life can throw at some people.
Yeah.
You know, so I realized after college, I'm like, maybe I should look for something else. I already got my degree in psychology. So let me see what else I can go into. And my mother's friend recommended becoming an RBT because she has a son with special needs. He has autism. And I explored him, like, you know what, let me give this a shot. Let me see if I like it. So I went through the whole process. I became an RBT and I started doing sessions. I liked it a lot. I did like
it. Sorry to interrupt you, but for the people that don't specifically understand the difference of an RBT versus, you know, all the other designations and all of that, just a quick synopsis of what's an RBT.
Pretty much an RBT is someone who carries out a plan that's given to them from someone up and to help change and modify behaviors that might be a problem, right? Some of these kids are hitting themselves, so they have self-injurious behaviors. They might be aggressive towards others. They might try to run away, and that can pose a threat, you know, or a danger if they're running into the streets. So basically an RBT is helping them learn behaviors to better manage their emotions.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect. Thank you. That helps a lot.
So that's a good way to say it.
Awesome. Okay, so you became an RBT. How long was that time frame, that career?
Yeah, I was an RBT for a couple of years, I think 2 to 3 years. Okay. You know, and I really enjoyed working with the special needs community, you know, primarily working with autism. But I felt like there was a shift that I wanted to make. I love fitness and I wanted to get into fitness. And this was, man, after I left being an RBT, I went to Orange Theory as a coach.
Oh, and, nice.
Yeah. So I learned a lot of good skills there and all that stuff. But one of the families that I worked with mentioned fitness and special needs. Like, have I ever considered that? And it wasn't even a thought in my brain, you know? And they connected me to someone named George Navarro, and he had his own company, Inner Ability, and he would work with special needs in fitness. And I was like, this is so cool. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, this is everything I like in one, you know? Let me learn more about this. So I was able to reach out to him, get connected, and the guy's an amazing guy. He's a saint, you know, he's fantastic. And he gave me the opportunity to shadow him and kind of be a mentor to me for a bit, you know, for like a summer, 3 to 4 months.
That is so special. Those kind of people that want to, you know, they don't have those limiting beliefs. They don't have the competition in their brain. They're just so excited to share something that they're excited with someone else that's excited too. You know, like, those are just, shout out to George Navarro.
Yeah, no, he's an incredible human being. I mean, he really did a lot for this community. Everywhere I go, people know who he is. So it's really cool that I get to, you know, shadow him.
Yeah.
So I shadowed him for a summer and I learned a lot, you know, just watching him. He made it look so simple. Like, it's not simple, but he made it look so simple. And I was just fascinated by that. I'm like, how is he? To me, it's like, wow. Anyway.
Do you know how many years he was in? Sorry to keep cutting you off. I'm just so interested. Do you know how many years he had been in the business?
I think 20. I think at the time, 20.
Okay.
So he had more than enough experience, and he was involved in like the school system, like in sensory labs, I guess you would say, right?
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, and so Unleashed Potential started because a huge opportunity opened up, right? I was with him and he was talking to me. He said he was moving to South Carolina or North Carolina. I always forget. It always slips my mind.
One of them.
Yeah, one of the Carolinas. And he basically said, you know, Matt, I'm leaving. I have a lot of families that I work with, but I'm not going to be able to see them. But I'll give you the opportunity to meet them and see if they'd want to work with you. And I'm like, wow, that was incredible. It's like such a huge opportunity just to go and have this chance to work with these families in fitness, you know? So I said, yep, absolutely. Even though, you know, of course, whenever you're starting something new, there's a tremendous amount of maybe doubt, right? Because this is newer, right? Like, I'm not here to change behaviors. I'm here for fitness and exercise. So I needed to figure out how I was going to go about it. So that was the beginnings of that.
That is amazing. I love that story within itself. Just, you know, I think some people see a business like yours that is so, you know, like coaching and podcasting, that's been around since forever. There's a lot of people giving their advice and their different personas in this realm, but something like what you've created, you know, mixing in one part with another part and it's such a unique outcome. I think people see that as what it already is, and they don't realize the recipe that it took to get there. You know, the first overcoming your own mental struggles and your, you know, that the own mental prison that we all have, and then that going into the fitness side of it also, wanting to become a like a mental therapist of like, what was it you said,
I
psychologist?
wanted to be a psychologist,
A
yes.
psychologist, okay, a psychologist, and then bringing the whole story together is like no part of that story could have been missing for Unleashed Potential to be born. You know, talking about your mentor and having this epiphany come to your head, and then seeing someone that's doing it, and they're doing it like so eloquently and gracefully, and realizing that it's a potential. I mean, all of those different pieces to that story was amazing. So Unleashed Potential was born. You are now meeting the families. What was that like? What was, you know, did you prepare yourself, or were you just like, I don't know, I'm gonna wing it. If they like me, they like me. How did that part go?
I'm gonna be 100% honest with you. I said this opportunity is amazing. I'm gonna give it 3 months before it all goes away. Because in my mind, I'm like, there's no way this is gonna last. Because there's this uncertainty to it where it's not like you have a job where you have a steady paycheck. You know, I quit Orange Theory and I went straight all into this. So I'm like, this is do or die. And in my mind, my mind went to the worst case scenario. It was like, this is probably not going to last long. But what I am going to do is I'm going to take every chance and every opportunity to maximize it as much as possible. I'm going to show these families as much as I can how much I care, how much I'm willing to go for their child to help them get stronger and better, and just show myself that I actually really do give a damn, you know, because I want these kids to really be better. And so I would go to the family's house. The way I work is I go to their house and do the sessions, right? I don't have a location yet. One day, hopefully, God willing.
Soon. But that's not a bad option either, because
It
it
works out. It works
familiarity
out.
of their own home, I'm sure,
Yeah. Yeah,
allows them to
I'm not
develop.
complaining. I'm not complaining. It's more than fine. It's just like the way I do is I go to them, you know. So I'm pulling into their driveway and I'm parking and I'm there and I see the house and I'm like, wow, this is really happening, huh? You know, I'm taking everything out and everything for me was new. So it was constant trial and error. Constant. Did that work? No, that didn't work. Should I set up the equipment like this? No, I got it. So all little things you would never think of before because usually someone else is handling that for you when you're
Right.
looking for another job. But now everything is on you. The communication, the logistics, the scheduling, the you know how it is.
The taxes.
The
Literally everything.
taxes.
It, yeah,
The
it's a
taxes.
lot. It's a lot of
Taxes.
different hats. And also, like, just in your case, you were being a mentee, so you were doing it. But even those little things, it goes to show that like no one's perfect in the beginning, because
I don't know.
where George did these things like the back of his hand, where you didn't even know that this was a thing to think about. You know, he had fallen into it over the years. Now you're there and you're stumbling like me this morning, you know, trying to figure out all this stuff.
Yeah.
And these are growing pains, and it's
A lot of
scary
growing
for
pains.
sure.
A lot of growing pains. I really gave myself a couple months before this probably wouldn't even work out just because it goes completely negative. That's my
Yeah.
first thought initially. But I said I'm gonna make the most of the time. And so I just showed up, you know, and for me, faith is very important. So I would sit in that driveway. I'm being very honest right now. I'd sit in that driveway and I'd say, God help me. Like, please guide me in this session.
Yeah.
Just let me like take control and hopefully it works out, you know?
Let me be your hands and your
Yeah.
voice and just
Just
work through me.
yeah, like please don't give me anything I cannot handle today.
I love that. That is so beautiful. I'm gonna say that right now. I'm gonna say that right now on our podcast. God, please work through me today in giving the Unleashed Potential story. This is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, bring me back to that car moment where you're sitting there getting.
Yeah. So I for a while, just, you know, I would say, God, just please just guide me and help me. please don't make anything happen that I can't control, you know? And that's what I did. I would just wake up, I put my head down, and I'm like, I'm not even gonna think about it. I'm just gonna go one step at a time, baby steps, right? So I look at my schedule throughout the day, all the sessions I'd have, and I would be like, all right, just one at a time, one at a time, one at a time, right? Try to be very, not too, well, you can get ahead of yourself very easily when you see a schedule like that and you see you're going to have certain clientele that struggle and are going to need a lot of support. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're just so beat. And then you see the next day and then you see the next day and then, you know, you're going to have to do it again.
Yeah, it but could, it, especially if you're not in the right mind frame and fear is really, I mean, it's there for all of us and everything we do. It definitely could feed either wolf. Like, it can either feed the, all right, let's get it wolf, or it could feed the, oh my God, how am I going to do all this wolf, you know? And so quieting that noise. Yeah, that's a big
yeah, one. Exactly what you said. So it'd be, how am I going to do this? And it was out quickly. Whenever I have that thought, I change it to, you know what? I've been given a great opportunity. I'm going to make the most of it, out of it. But most importantly, I'm not expecting anything in return. I'm just going to give as much as I can. And whatever comes back to me is just a blessing and extra. And that's all I considered it. I didn't attach myself to any outcome except just giving as much of myself as I could.
That's awesome. And there is something to say about that. I have a saying that I say all the time, and it's value for value. People like to get so stuck on the numbers of the exchange, mm-hmm. and the numbers never matter. It's the value for value. If you give out good value somewhere in some capacity, that value will be given back to you every single time. So, and it's in direct reciprocation of the value you give. You know, you could either give a good amount of value to a lot of people, and that'll be value that's given back to you, or you can give 100% your all. And I believe that that is something that's always reciprocated every single time. Yep. So your first solo session, mm-hmm. you're walking up the driveway. Mm-hmm. You have all your, I'm sure you have things that you need to bring in.
It was great. You know, we often suffer more in our imagination than in reality. So I started it. And again, whenever I start feeling like this was overwhelming at first, right? Because this is all new. I would just say, what do I need to focus on this moment, right? Okay, let's get him doing this. Let's get him doing that. Let's get him doing that. And that all adds up. And eventually, before you know, an hour is done. You're like, oh, we're good to go, you know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty much how it went. And it was just a constant me getting in the proper state of mind to be the best I could be. Like you said earlier, it's value for value. The way I see it is that if you're in the service of others, to just serve others, things take care of themselves, right? You don't expect anything. You just serve to serve. And I think when you put that and you try to be as genuine as possible,
yeah,
people can see that. And I think that's a lot.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So, how many years have you been in fruition of this dream? How long has it been since that the internship to now? How is that journey?
So I graduated college in 2019, right? Mm-hmm. I was a behavioral therapist till about 2022. Orange Theory I did for about a year. So about 5 or 6 years getting out of college since I leave potential. And I've been almost 3 years now by myself doing Unleash Potential.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So 3 years is a big mark in business. There's that 1 year, there's that 3 years, you know, that you start to, you always get the statistics on of what, you know, can happen to us. It's always doom for us.
Yeah, it's like good luck.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. What has been the biggest challenge? Let me ask that. What has been the biggest challenge from that first session that went well to today?
I mean, I've had, I don't know, over 2,000 sessions already, one-on-one.
Amazing.
So I've had a lot of experience,
mm-hmm.
Just back to back to back. So I feel very confident in what I do now. I feel like it's, you know, there's always more you can improve, obviously, and learn. But I'd say right now, the biggest thing is what I want to take Unleash Potential to, my future goals. I want to expand. I want to really make this something big. I want to, you know, I really think that everything that I am figuring out, the logistics, the methodology, the philosophy behind it, you know, and the way I feel like I can really put it together can be something special. And I just really want to see this grow. You know, the biggest obstacle is probably finding people that do what I do. Right? Because there's an oversaturation of personal trainers and there's a lot of RBTs, but the cross or, you know, behavioral field, there's the cross is kind of lacking, right?
Okay.
From my experience, like I haven't met many people that do what I do. I've met maybe two or three in the past 3 years that do specifically what I do. So there's not many people doing it. And I think there's a huge opportunity to bring that into a reality. And I think it would benefit the population because how sedentary an everyday person is, right? Someone who doesn't have disabilities. And I read a statistic, only 4% of people, adults in the United States exercise consistently, 4%.
Isn't that insane? And I want to go into like a whole tangent on working out because that is like, obviously you bring in the mental strength, like the wisdom that you have in mental strength and being able to break down barriers. You have the special needs experience where you know exactly how they like to be treated and in what, you know, environment they do well in. Like all of us, we all have our own, you know, things that help us progress in certain ways. But the fitness portion of it too, it's like that is, at least to me, the foundation of everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's very hard to have a good mental and you're not taking care of your body. So do you know the percentage of special needs individuals that actually are able to get in a quality workout, that are taught workout? I mean, maybe there's no specific statistic, but how does that look like in their community?
Right. So imagine what I just said, 4% of adults that have no disabilities aren't struggling with these issues. Imagine a more marginalized community that's, you know, struggling with a bunch of different therapies, behavioral therapy, speech therapy. A lot of them go see occupational therapists, but what I do notice is that they see them for a bit, and then when they stop, they're not really too consistent after.
Right.
So they're sedentary, right? So that's one of the things that I did notice, that how needed this is, because as you said earlier, fitness is the most important thing in life, right? If you are not fit, it's going to be very hard to navigate life, right? It's a vehicle that helps you go through other things, right? Like the better you are at being fit, the better it's going to help with your speech, the better it's going to help with your coordination, with your confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great quote that I always say that I love is, a healthy person has 10,000 wishes, but someone who's sick or struggles has one, to feel better, to get better.
Yeah.
And one thing I do notice that for me is the most important thing is I treat fitness, as I said, as a vehicle. This is a piece of the puzzle for their life. It's not everything, right? But it's going to help them feel confident to make friends. It's going to help them feel confident in themselves, because exercising is a real experience where you're encountering something that's difficult and you're going to have to overcome it. And that, in turn, if you do it long enough, you have to change your perspective on things, your mental state, because you're not going to continue pushing yourself and exercising if everything's woe is me, and I can't do this.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a second, I just did that. Wait a second, I can do this. Oh, I can even do more. Oh, wow, look how strong I'm getting. Look how I'm looking, right? I have this one kid that I see. I'm going to leave the name out, but he's 17, and he always tells me, hey, Matt, look at me, I'm jacked. Hey, Matt, look at me. You know, so like it's funny, you know, but it's
all of us. I squat the 3 squats and I'm like, hey girl.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
No one can talk to me after that, you know.
Yeah, and what I noticed that really makes my day and really makes it special for me is that after being consistent for a bit, I see them change. I see their body, their posture change. They might walk in more hunched over, more, you know, to themselves. And then they put their chest out, their shoulders are back, their eyes are up, and they're telling me, hey, I'm trying this now. And I realized I could do it because of all the other things I've overcome. I'm saying it in other words, but you know.
Yeah, but you know,
idea there.
Working out is, to me, is just like, it isn't an immediate boost because it gives you, you're allowing yourself to give yourself those wins. You know, like the day, we can't control how the day goes. We can't control how our life goes. You know, I may wake up tomorrow and stub my toe, lose my keys. And especially me, I'm the clumsiest person ever. And all of a sudden, you know, someone flicks me off in traffic. I can't control those outside, you know, scenarios. I can control me, myself, and my mental well-being. And if everything I'm receiving is an L because the day just, that's what the day has prescribed for me, I know that I can get my ass in the fucking gym, and I can, that is just doing that is a win. And just doing that is me building my confidence of, oh, I can do this. I can do hard things. I pushed a little bit more, you know, so I can totally see how a difficult day can definitely be turned around by you doing some physical exercise, you know, with not even a special needs individual, just any individual, but more so, you know, in that realm where there's a lot more work, there's a lot more strategy that needs to be involved.
So you mentioned something that was very critical that I forgot to mention.
Okay.
That control. For me, when I see these kids, right, some of them are adults, they've lived a whole life that's been beyond their control.
Mm.
And that's something that really, I feel intensely about, because to me, that's the greatest tragedy. It's like you have no control about anything and you're just constantly struggling and it feels like there's no way up, right?
Yeah.
A lot of them struggle making friends. A lot of them are alone and they have the same needs and emotions and feelings and thoughts as we do, as anyone else, right? So you see that and it hurts me, you know? So one thing I forgot to mention is this idea of control is probably more personal for me, because growing up, I have a family member that is disabled and we think he's autistic, right? You know, growing up, he could remember history books. Like, he had an incredible memory. He loved history. You know, he struggled socially. I heard he had even a girlfriend in high school. But now, I don't know what happened. You know, he does do self-injurious behaviors and other things. But now he's, you know, he's blind, deaf, and mute. He doesn't have much quality of life.
Yeah.
Whenever I saw that and I see that to this day, you know, it's a reminder. You know, it's a reminder that I want to ensure as much as possible that someone does not have to struggle.
Yeah.
They are struggling. So that's actually a very big motivation for me, that family member.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that does push me.
Having that close to home and being in the front seat of that struggle, of that lifestyle, that always obviously impacts us way more than not really having a relationship or not having grown up. And then as additionally, when unfortunately that person has not had the resources
to
better themselves, to optimize their gifts, because like you said, and you know, again, this is something I say all the time, no one is broken. No one is different. Like, we all are different and we all need things in different ways. And sometimes it's just a little bit more acute. I think the way that our society is set up, we like to label everything and make it right or wrong. It's so much judgment in our society. But when you see that person has not been able to get the resources that they need the way they need them to optimize their gifts, because obviously he was very gifted also, it's even more sadder and even more impressing, because as loved ones, we always see people's potential. We always see the potential of what someone can be. I mean, I can totally relate to that, and thank you for sharing that with me, because I think that's profound, and it ties in a little bit more of your motivation, your passion, your urgency to get unleashed potential out there to everyone. So, going into that and staying on that topic, I do have friends, family members with special needs children. What has been your biggest win? And, I know that every kid is different and every kid is winning, every time they're able to complete the exercise or do a new set or rep or whatever it is that you guys do, is what is, the biggest impact that you see? I know you just mentioned your 17-year-old client that's like, I'm jacked, and seeing his confidence.
Every time I try to qualify a win, I always think of it in 3 to 4 ways. There's a physical win, a mental win, an emotional win, right? A social win, like how does this help them interact with others? And then depending on the level of functioning for that individual, an existential win, like is this providing purpose and meaning to this person's life? Is it something greater that they can look forward to, right? Because that's kind of an abstract concept, right? The future, like the future doesn't exist, but you think about it. So it takes a certain level of cognition to understand the idea. And if that person does, then I try to put that in there as well. So when you say what is the greatest win, I mean, I can name a lot of kids that I'll name a lot of things here. So besides just getting stronger and more capable of moving weight and being more mobile and healthier, I have a kid who's lost 25 pounds in a year. Now he wasn't able to squat 10 times body weight starting, and now he's able to squat easily over 15 times with 40 pounds in his hands. Through progressive overload, gradually but surely. I have another kid that I work with who has dreams of being a journalist, and he tells me that because of the training, he feels more confident that he can do anything and that he's going to pursue his dream of being a journalist, and nothing's going to stop him, and da, da, da. Like, so that was huge. I have another person that I work with who, granted, he has many years of behavioral therapy, and I'm just a piece of the puzzle, right? But we would exercise 3 times a week. He got leaner, he got healthier. And I'm not saying that this is because of Unleashed Potential, but I do feel proud that I was able to help him on his journey. But after 4 years, especially post-COVID, he's able to have a job or to work.
Awesome.
Right.
That is
And now,
huge.
yeah, and he is, if you would know him, he's very, he likes his routine. But now when it's time for work, he's the one getting up, getting the clothes ready to go and be doing whatever he's doing over there. That is massive.
And that's I'm sorry, I want you to continue, but I think also you just put something, an idea in my head. What are the percentage of your clients that even taking instruction is difficult? And being like, do 10 reps, do this,
95%.
and them having the confidence, the self-trust, being able to quiet that mental anxiety to be like, okay, I can do this, I can do that, and going from there, I'm sure even that is huge.
I mean, everyone's, has their unique case, but I would say starting off, especially when you're introducing exercise and they're not used to it, at the end of the day, exercise is a stressor, right? So my job as a coach is I'm managing stress. They've had probably 2 to 3 therapy sessions that day. They've had a day in school, and they probably didn't sleep well, and they're probably on new medication. So I'm taking all this into account. And then I'm there telling them, hey, we got to do this exercise. And they're like, I don't want to. Or so beginning about that, that's the beginning part, right? Like you're building compliance, you're building trust. You're showing like, hey, I'm not here to just make you struggle and do this exercise. I'm here for these reasons. And there's a very specific process, which goes into the ABA part and the holistic approach I try to take. It's a very specific process that I go about. But now after building the rapport, building that relationship, showing that I care, showing that I'm actually able to listen to what they're telling me, because I'm not there to just bark at them and tell them what to do. I'm there to communicate with them and instill the sense of autonomy and independence. That's one of my goals as, on Unleash Your Potential. It's, I want you to understand that your thoughts matter. You have a voice. You can tell me. I don't have to agree or disagree, right? But I'll hear you out and maybe we can compromise, right? And so oftentimes I do that. I compromise a lot because it's a long-term game. They're not gonna get in shape in 3 months, right? Because they're struggling with other behavioral issues, right? But how can I make this something that's accessible, long-lasting, and entertaining enough where they want to continue? Reinforcing enough. That's the word, reinforcing.
You are giving so much more than being jacked. You are giving consistency, discipline, a coach that's on your side, autonomy. You know, obviously here at RiskIt, we are like, my number one goal always is freedom, whatever that means to you, whatever that means to anyone. I'm going to ask you that later. But like, you keep on touching on the fact that you are so proud of the autonomy that you're giving them, of the control that you're giving them over their own lives when everyone else is controlling everything in their lives. And I know that every single person, you know, whether you have a disability or you don't, has felt that need to take over what, you know, what it is that they want and be able to hold it and have the capacity to control the variables in their own life so that the outside variables don't continue to control them. And that is a huge part of freedom. That is a huge part of being able to tell your own story. And so, you know, I'm just, again, I'm so inspired by everything that you're doing. It's so special that you're allocating your talents to a group of people that don't really have the widest range of resources. And the resources that are out there, you know, it's very hard to know what they are, know who's doing what. How did you source your, now this is more of like the business, the owner, business owner hat, you know, there's the vision, the mission, the passion, the all of that stuff. And then there's the business. How did you source your partnerships with JCC? How did you source partnerships with UM and helping, you know, their Center of Autism and Related Disabilities program, getting into the board of Casa Familia? Talk to me about that mind frame of growing the business, getting out there, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, I realized something that Coach George told me. George Navarro told me that, I asked him a question. I asked him, what's one thing you would do differently if you could start over? He said, I would not be an island to myself. And I took that to heart, because if he's saying that, that means, like, you know, after 20 years, it's a big lesson.
Yeah.
So I made it a point. The first year, I told myself, I'm just going to put my head down and acquire as many skills as possible. I don't care about anything else. Let's just see how this goes for a year. Learn, trial and error.
And you beat the 3 month expiration.
I was celebrating every week, because yeah, I really was. You have no idea. Like every week I'm like, oh, I'm still here. But yeah, 3 month, the 6 month, the 9 month, the year.
It's going to keep going forever. Like In 20 years, when Risk It is like national and Unleash Potential is national, we're going to be like, we can't believe we're still here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just taking it one day at a time. But so the first year, I told myself I was just going to put in the work and learn as much as possible. I told myself the second year is when I'm going to start connecting and reaching out to people. So that's the time I gave myself to actually just network and connect, right? Because mm-hmm. no one's going to know who you are if you stay in a closet, right? You got to put yourself out there. And so I would just show up to events that I knew that were being hosted, and I would see different tents. I'd see different people, and I'm like, here we go. You know, I'd make an introduction. I'd say, my name is Matthew. This is what I do. I love what you're doing. And I'm, you know, always honest. I love what you're doing, and I would love to connect. How can we make this happen? You know, just put it out there. And nine times out of 10, it's either for sure, let's get connected, or, you know, let's get connected at this time later in the future. Right. Never have I really heard a no. Right. Granted, of course, some people don't reciprocate the same energy, or they're busy with other things. Right. You never take anything personal. They're busy with other stuff, so they're not responding to you. And you realize, hey, maybe I'm not a priority for them right now. And that's OK. Right. I have priorities too, and they have their own stuff going on, right? Never take things personal. And so I just constantly go to events, and I'd constantly reach out. When I was not in session, I'd go to a coffee shop because I'm always driving around, right? So I'd have maybe like an hour, right? I'd go to a coffee shop, and I would look up and research what's happening in the community here with special needs. Who does what, and where are they, and what are they trying to do, and how can my mission help them succeed? Because I'm always in the mindset of trying to be a server. Like, I'm serving. Right. And I would email them. I would just email them. I'd call, or sometimes I would just show up to where they're at. I would literally just put myself in the door and just be like, hi, I don't have a meeting. My name's Matthew. This is who I am. Does he have any time today? If not, when can I get in touch with him?
Audacity. It's essential to the rest.
Because if you just email people, sometimes they're just going to be like, oh, it's another email. But if you show up and you're persistent, it's like, wow, this person's actually serious. Maybe they're a little annoying, but they're at least showing face, you know?
I think there's three thought processes, and there's probably more. But I think the top three are, one, I am really interested in this, but I am so busy because we're all so busy. Mm-hmm. And there's never really a right time, but like, I'm interested. So for people to schedule things, it is harder than like, you're like, hey, I'm here, I got 5 minutes, let's talk. Yeah. Oh my God, exactly. Thank you so much. Two is they aren't really interested, but they're nice enough to not tell you to go fuck off, you know? Sure. And eventually they see your passion, they see your drive, and they're like, okay, and then they're able to get the whole idea of what you're pitching, and they love it. And then there's three where they just tell you to fuck off, either before or after. But number three happens way less than people expect it to happen. Like way, way, way less. I've cold called a million times in my life. I've, you know, raw dog the email and the DM thing where I'm just... I'm just going in there, no introduction. I'm full on audacity. And number three doesn't happen as often as people think it does. So,
if you don't mind me saying, one of the things that I notice is that people are neither for you or against you. They're for themselves, right? They're trying to figure out their own situation, and you don't need to take things personal. Yeah. The more you take things personal, the more miserable you'll be, because you're going to be assuming things that are probably not true, right? And they're just trying to figure out their own situation, because everyone has their things going on. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a life happening and whatever. So one thing I realized is either they will collaborate with you, or they will send you to someone they know who might be a better fit. That's honestly what usually happens with me. It's like, hey, right now, that's not for me, or I'm not interested, but I know someone who is looking for that, or I know someone who would. And then it's just being like water, just flowing where the path takes you, right? Not being so, oh, that didn't work out, never mind. It's like, no, adjust, pivot, go to the next one.
And there's a huge benefactor, because now this person knows what you do. So now it's reinforced in their brain, and they may not think about you all the time. They not may not support you in any way, but if they're ever at a happy hour or they're ever at lunch or one of their friends comes to them and is saying, I have a special needs kid or cousin or niece, and we're having these difficulties, in their head is going to pop up a solution to the person they care about's needs, and that solution is going to be you, So it's also a big part is dropping those little seeds, because you never know, even if they don't have a referral or even if they do, they'll remember who you are eventually. So in a very like direct way, there is someone out there that is trying to grow their business and they are trying to look for those collaborations. How did you send emails? Did you call? Did you ask? Was there a formula that you followed to try to get into, the JCC is a great community. UM has great programs. That's awesome. How did you specifically get into those kind of markets?
So like I said, the first year I put my head down and just went all out and basically acquired the skills necessary to be able to get results, right? I was able to build a relationship with the families, authentic relationships. Yes, there's a business element to it, but you got to treat people as people at the end of the day, right? So if you treat someone as a money sign, they're going to know you're teaching them as a money sign, right? And it comes off as very fraudulent and inauthentic. Mm-hmm. Again, serve. So I built these relationships, and the special needs community, everyone knows each other, right? Because it's a close-knit community. Yeah. And so I haven't really had to market myself at all, right?
Amazing. Kudos to you. Good job.
Yeah, but this is only because I think of the work I'm in. It's because everyone knows each other. Yeah. So word travels fast, word of mouth, and everyone's looking for the best solutions for their child.
Right.
And so once I felt confident enough in the skills I had, I felt there's like a feeling at least that I get, where it's like, all right, now it's time to challenge myself again. Because when you start getting too complacent, that means you're in a routine. That means you already got it nailed. But if you want to progress as a business, you always, once you feel that, you're like, oh, okay, no, I'm slacking right now. You should always be slightly uncomfortable. There should always be some level of discomfort.
Is there a telltale sign for you? Maybe there's someone who is feeling a certain way and they don't realize that that's what's calling to them. Is there a specific feeling you get or a sign that pops up that you have recognized within yourself that's like, time to fucking move?
Yep. It's when I am doing the same thing every week and I'm stagnant and nothing new is happening. It's just the same old, same old. So I allowed that to happen for the first year again because I need experience.
Right.
You can think of, this is a good advice. You can think about something all you want, but you need to start taking steps.
Right.
Right. Ideas are potential energy. Action is action that's based in reality. Right. Your ideas will fuel your action. But if you sit there and like, I want to do this, how am I going to do this? And you try to think about every single step of the way, you're not going to start, because there's things that you don't even think about that are going to come up. Right. I read a great quote that said, being an entrepreneur is like building a plane, except while it's flying and then it's breaking down at the same time. So you're trying to keep it flying.
Yeah.
You're
fixing the front, fixing the back.
It's like you're managing a lot of things and you can't think about it. You just got to get to it. You just got to start and then figure it out once you're there. And then once you're there, you realize, oh, this is maybe a little annoying, but it's not as bad as I thought it would be. So just start, gain experience, right? Because you have to provide value, right? And you need to trust yourself first. So you gain that confidence through action. Give yourself 6 months to a year. I know I have a friend. Actually, I'm going to shout him out right now. Is that cool? Can I shout him out?
Yeah, let's shout him out.
So his name's Bruno, founder of Vulcan Shields.
Bruno.
Okay. Founder of Vulcan Shields. And he worked at a mechanic shop and he wanted to start a niche business, a side hustle. And for 6-7 months, he just perfected whatever he was trying to get at, perfected the craft. And 9 months later, from his initial start date to starting Vulcan Shield, right? He has plenty of customers, consistent clientele, and he is growing and he's growing. But for the first 6 months, everyone does this, by the way, it's normal. They're like, yo, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
I did the right thing. Yo, I feel like something's wrong. I feel like this is not going to work out. I think I'm wasting my time.
You know? There's always something wrong. It's like kind of being like a mom in a sense that like I will die with mom guilt always for the rest of my life. There's nothing that like I can do about it. Business is a baby. It's the exact same way. Like you're just constantly like, how am I better? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's constant. But I love that you allow yourself and, you know, you have people around you because that's important too, that community around you, that you give yourself the grace to just dive in and play. And this is something I'm probably going to say a million times on my podcast. Like we stop playing at a certain age and then everything is taken so seriously. And it's either a check. Like another, I mean, you're in MMA, so I don't know what the reference is, but it's either like another knob on your belt or whatever.
Yeah. Another stripe on your belt.
Yeah. So, or it's just wrong. There's no room to explore curiosities and mess up and do wrong. And so allowing yourself those first 6 months to a year to just, and the first 3 months were really like giving yourself that much grace where it's like, I'm gonna go all in because these are my 3 months too. Yeah, and that's what enables that long term investment. That's what enables the foundation to everything that you're going to build after that is allowing yourself that grace to play.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
But no worries. I want to expand on that. There's a quote that I really like. That says fixation is the way to death, right? Fixation is the way to death. Fluidity is the way to life. So you have to go with the flow. And part of going with the flow is allowing yourself room to experiment, right? And an experiment is just, let's see the result. Treat it like a math problem, right? You don't get emotional that 1 + 1 = 2, right? So your business like a math problem. It's like, okay, if I do this, what's the outcome? Did it support me or did it go against me? It went against me. Okay, how can I make it better? Cool. And then you just go like that, but don't have an attachment to the result because especially for the first year, your results are just going to be what...
The roots.
Exactly. The results.
The roots that you're building. You don't see a tree. Right. You don't see, you know, it's like... It's all bamboo or a specific type, but like there's a specific type of bamboo that like grows underground for like X amount of years. I don't know how many years, let's say 6. And then, and you think you're like, what's wrong with this freaking bamboo?
Yeah.
And then one day it shoots up like 10, 15, 20.
Exactly.
The numbers.
You have to build on a sturdy foundation. And the only way you're going to know if you have a good foundation is if you tried and tested it. And if you really try and test things, you're going to experience what you would call failure, but that's just an opportunity. There's no such thing as failure. It's another opportunity to pivot.
Right.
And the people who get stuck on that are the ones.
The grace of seeing if you even like the thing that you're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You may do it for 3 months and be like,
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. There's going to be hard days where you're just like, you sit down after a long day and you're just like, man, this is rough. I don't know if I can continue doing this. Yeah. But just give yourself one more day. Give yourself one more day. Just say, you know, I'm not going to quit today. I'll probably quit tomorrow, but I won't quit today. And then do it and then keep pushing that idea. Like, keep going, one step at a time. And then you realize you're out of whatever you're in.
I love that. In my first interview with Danette, she is very much a person that something interests her and she just launches herself at it. And if she knows that she planned it really well and she gives it heart, she knows it's going to work out. There's no question in her head why it won't work out. And it seems like you are a little bit more like me in contrast, where we almost expect it not to work out in the beginning, but that also... we allow self-doubt and being self-conscious or whatever that, you know, dark force is that enters our mind first. we have that, but we have learned how to allow ourselves to just play within that anyways. And use it to our advantage, because there, you know, risk it is, it's very sexy and tantalizing, and it may spark something, but to a big part of me, I'm like, I don't want to risk it. I want to stay right here where it's safe.
Yeah, yeah.
Please no. I don't even know, want to know what it is, because I'm a scaredy cat, you know? And so I love that your story is a little bit more alongside my story, but you still figured out a way to, you know, break from that mental prison and cut those cords and just say, all right, you're here. I feel you. But fuck it. Let's try it anyway. Worst case, I'm back at where I'm right now. You know?
Right. Not even. You're back where you're at with experience. So you have something to pull from.
100%.
But, you know, that having a business and choosing your own way always will require, you know, bravery. And the only way you can be brave is if you're scared. Because if you're not scared, you can't be brave, right?
That is true.
Well, shout out to my professor out there, jiu-jitsu professor.
Shout outs. I love it. But I love you pinpoint the people who teach you these things and where you've learned them from. And I heard that jiu-jitsu is like the number one sport for mental toughness, mental clarity. Like, it helps so much in that, because I mean, I don't know why I don't play jiu-jitsu. I don't play jiu-jitsu. No.
You don't do jiu-jitsu, yeah.
I don't do jiu-jitsu. But I can imagine you're like fighting for your life every time you get on the mat.
I mean, yeah, there's definitely a period where you're just getting murdered. You just die.
Like in business.
Honestly, yeah, you're just getting beat down. That's part of it. Definitely, I think jiu-jitsu is a great, I think of things as vehicles. I think it's a great vehicle to figure out who you are, you know, because when you're on those mats, your true self comes out. Like, you're scared. If you're brave, if you're anxious, if you're an angry person, if you're a calm person, the way someone does their jiu-jitsu, you can tell a lot about their personality. Just how they roll, because it's, they're acting themselves out, you know? So I love jiu-jitsu. I'm fascinated by it. But which is another thing I'm actually interested, which is another thing I'm looking to create, a special needs jiu-jitsu program in the future. That's something that I am excited for, but again, one step at a time, because there's a lot of moving parts right now, but I want to figure out the logistics for that, because it's not really a thing that's done. I know of one other place. It's a First Order Jiu-Jitsu, I think it's called.
Okay.
The professor's name is Tarzan, so if anyone's watching this and is interested in that, check them out, you know. I heard it's about it. Yeah.
That is really cool. I did want to ask you, and so, you know, we can elaborate on it. How has, again, I know a lot of people that do jiu-jitsu, they love jiu-jitsu. You know, I would love to dive into the lessons you've learned from that. I think, like you said, everything we do is a vehicle to teach us something, whether it be business, hobbies, passions, working out, church, whatever it is. They're vehicles to teach us things. And so how did baseball help in the journey of your mindset? So kind of putting business aside really quick. And I highlight so much on business because I think business is the one of the biggest self-work you can do when you're creating your own business and you're trying to do it your own way. You got to figure out who you are. You got to figure out your limiting beliefs. But another big way is through sports. So how did jiu-jitsu, how did baseball help you with, you know, those mental struggles that you had growing up, that we all have right now? And how also is that being infused into you and through your work?
Yeah, so I'll speak more about jiu-jitsu because I think it's a better way to describe things. Jiu-jitsu is a bunch of life lessons in an hour, right? You're competing against someone, right? There's a lot of things in life are a competition. You're gonna have to show up on days you don't want to be there, you know. You always have to show up, and you're gonna be very uncomfortable for a long time. There's going to be someone putting their knee on your face. There's going to be someone, you know, making sure you can't breathe for 6 to 10 minutes. And your goal is to do the same to them and the first person.
It's like savagery.
It is.
No, but I respect it. I think it's great. And I think just as men, and maybe this is a sexist thing for me to say, but fuck it, it's my podcast. I think also as men, like you guys got all that testosterone in you know, and like there has to be a funnel. I mean, for me working out, like I'm very high energy, I'm very high sprung. I have to get in a good workout because if not, I don't have anywhere else to channel that energy. And then it comes out in ways that I don't want it to come out. And again, as men, like you guys have so much more than that. So, being able to like just leave that on the mat and
Teaches you how to sublimate your emotions, right? How to take your emotions that will put you down and use it in a constructive way, right? Because if you get too angry in jiu-jitsu because someone's whipping you and you start going crazy, you're going to tire out within a minute, and then you're going to be tired and they're not going to be tired, and for the next 5 minutes you're going to suffer, you know. So it teaches you how to control your emotions. But also on top of that, there is a camaraderie to jiu-jitsu, like in your team that you're at. Like you get very close to them. You're trusting them to put you in chokeholds and things that can break your limbs, you know? So you get very close with them, especially when hard training. People get close in hard times. And it's an amazing outlet, like after work, being able to go there, training, seeing my friends. And then just talking things out after, because usually in jiu-jitsu it's a common thing. Like after you train, you like just talk about life, like just, "Hey man, what's up?" And it's
And
therapeutic.
men don't get that often. If you're not a part of, I can imagine if you're a man, a part of, not a part of a hobby like that, you don't get a lot of outlets where you can express yourself.
100%. Yeah, and these are people who would keep you in check, you know, making sure you're okay, but also push you to be better, right? Like, so you have an environment where you're constantly exercising, you're getting in shape, you're getting stronger, you're learning how to defend yourself, you're learning how to defend others, you're learning all these concepts that come with it, and then you have this environment where it's a camaraderie, and it's just a win-win-win in every single way, you know, despite the injuries. Because if you do competition and you train like that, you know, injuries are definitely going to happen. But if you train as a hobbyist and you just enjoy it, you can train jiu-jitsu your whole life. And I think out of all the things I've ever done in my life, besides putting faith in God, I think jiu-jitsu would be the next best thing that I've ever done. That I don't I my anxiety goes away with business when I train jiu-jitsu. Because I struggle, so I would put myself through so much struggle and suffering and training. I've been slacking a bit, I won't lie right now, but like I'm training.
I'm sure you're still going harder than like 30% of the 40, 70% of the population.
No, like I used to train a lot more frequently, like 2 to 4 times a day. Whenever I'd have a break, I would train. But all my anxiety goes away because like this person just put his knee on my face for 5 minutes, and then I'm gonna go deal with work stuff. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, I get it. And I love to hear you speak so passionately about jujitsu. And, you know, it may seem like we went off on a tangent about something, but one, we're here to talk about life in any different way. There's going to be people who come into this podcast for any different reason and they get something from different parts of your life. But two, everything you're saying about jiu-jitsu is what you're giving to your clients, where they would not have that elsewhere. You know, as you and I have so many options of that release, of those lessons, of those high fives when you get it right, of that, hey, how you doing? I'm sure you come in and have a conversation first. I'm sure you have deep relationships with every single one of your clients. You know about their lives. You encourage them when they're struggling to make a rep or a set, or just maybe they struggled that day and they're not having a good day. You come in, you are all of that for your clients. And so, you know, not just having the listener pay attention to that, but you also, like you, like what the work you're doing, the soul that you're putting out into, you know, the world and the vehicle that you are for something greater is just so notable. And I commend you so much. I mean, we've been friends for quite some time, and you know, we've had conversations about Unleashed Potential and what you're trying to do and your mindset, which is another reason why I definitely wanted you on this podcast, because it's not just about business. I know it's heavy on business right now, but it's not just about business. It's about overcoming shit in your head and being able to pour out what you do in such a loving and genuine way, an authentic way, and choosing your life and choosing, you know, what that looks like for you, not allowing someone else to control it, like we were talking about.
I was just reflecting right now about what you were saying about advice to business owners. But I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, because we have to remember that at the end of the day, we're on borrowed time. We're on a borrowed body, a borrowed mind, borrowed experience and knowledge. And at the end of the day, one day we will go away. We will not be here anymore. And, you know, you have to live your life with that in your mind. You have to live your life with knowing that one day you will not be here, and that can be tomorrow. Let that dictate your thoughts, words, and actions and everything you do. So if you put that in the forefront of your mind, like, I might die tomorrow, every second's a blessing. Now let that dictate what I'm going to say right now to this person, how I'm going to act to this person, and how I'm going to carry myself, right? Because yeah, that's just the reality. So there's no, when you think like that, there's no room for regret. There's no room for anything. You know, if you really want a sombering experience, I used to do this, actually. It just came to me the first year. I'd be like, I'm so nervous, this is not gonna work out, I want to do it so bad. I visited a graveyard, and I just went there and I just looked, and you just see a tombstone with a date, hyphen date, a couple words here and there. That person probably lived 80 something years, and I just look at that and I'm like, that person had a family, hobbies, probably kids, a job. And now this is the reality, you know, this is where I'm going to be, right? There's a quote that I saw once that says, where you are standing, I once stood, and where I am, you too shall be. And it was on a gravestone. And it's true. It's very true. When you think like that, like, there's a sense of urgency. Like, let me take as much out of life as I can. Like, let me live this. Let me live it up.
100%. You know, I think with that, I've experienced a lot of death in my family since I was little, and death has always been something that was very much just it, like, there, you know, I would go to funerals when I was a little kid up until, you know, all the time. Death was always talked about in my family, and it can sound very morbid, but I think it gives you two sombering realities. One, you may die tomorrow, so live your life how you want to live it. Think about how you want to, the legacy you want to leave. What do you want your life to mean? And then two, on the flip side of that, most people, 99% of people, will not be remembered after their great-grandchild passes away, if you even get that far. So also, you know, and looking at those tombstones and those graveyards, also, what do you want to do with your life? But, like, don't take it so seriously, because it like, we're literally here to experience and play and go after these things. Both can be right. Take it serious enough to do what you want, but not too seriously that you feel like there's an impending doom because you're not successful, yeah, or you're not leaving, you know, the whole legacy that you wanted to leave. It's like, well, you know, legacy is left in micro moments and portions, and what you give to your kids and what they give to their, or what you give to your clients and what they put out on the daily basis, what you give to your community, that is more legacy than anything else. So I share that morbid motivation. Yeah. All right. So, you know, I want to wrap up the podcast just asking you a few trigger questions. Yep. And then hearing about, you know, what you're trying to do next. So what is, you know, maybe top one, top three, what are the biggest misconceptions about fitness for individuals with special needs? or individuals with special needs in general, and you know, obviously bringing a little bit more awareness to the community about what they need, how to interact. What is a misconception?
A misconception is that you have to kind of baby them. They're very capable if they're giving the right tools and support, support needs, you know, to accomplish tasks you wouldn't consider otherwise. So as long as you're supportive enough and you're providing what they need, they can accomplish a lot of things that otherwise most people don't think they're capable of. And that's something I noticed in this community, that out of good intention, there's a lot of infanticizing where it's like any little thing they do is like, woo, and it's all great and now happy, which you should celebrate the moments that are impactful. Don't get me wrong. But it's also like they can be challenged a lot more and grow a lot more if it's done properly. And I think that's something that needs to be more widespread.
Awesome. Thank you for that. What advice would you give to parents who want to help their child with special needs stay active and engaged?
Well, there's a great motivation.
Besides hiring Unleashed Potential.
Well, there's a great motivation, right? Because you have I'm not a parent, so I don't know if I even have a say so, but you have, yeah. You know, but you have a child that is looking up to you, and the greatest predictor of behavior besides the environment is modeling, right? You have a parent to look at, right? This is their first time in life. They're looking at you to what to do. And if you're exercising, you're taking care of yourself, they're going to follow suit generally, right? And if you don't, they're going to see the example you leave them. So just make sure it's a good example. And remember that you are also worth taking care of, because you're also spending all your time on and resources on your kids, and you're working home, working home, working home. I'm with these community, all the time. I see what the families go through. It's a lot. It's a lot, you know, and it would just improve their quality of life.
I want to go on the record and say that I did not give him these questions beforehand, and that was a phenomenal answer. I wasn't expecting that answer, and that was really, really good. That's awesome. You're so right. In everything, we are the example for our kids, and whether you have a kid that's special needs or not, you should be the example for them. But even more so, you know, if they're not getting that from other places, because, you know, going to the gym or whatever is not as much a possibility.
Yeah. And I think also to allow yourself some grace as well, because a lot of people feel guilty when they put themselves first, you know, and you need to give yourself grace and realize that you can only pour if your cup is full. And if you're constantly doing for others and burning out, it's going to be out of good intention. It's just not going to be a good time.
Yeah. 100%. Okay. And what does freedom mean to you?
What does freedom mean to me? That's a good question. I think you're only truly free. This is my opinion, obviously. I think you're only truly free when you take responsibility for your life, right? Because there's so many things you can choose to do. There's so many routes you can take. Some routes I think are better than others, right? So freedom to me, and again, I am Christian, so I do follow my faith. So freedom to me is following God, you know, following Christ, trying to live that example. Because even if you're not religious, right, and I'm going to assume that some of the people that are going to listen to this are not, even from a secular perspective, if you look at the life that he lived, most cultures and religions venerate him, right? Muslims, Buddhists, Hindu, they all see him as some sort of wise figure, right? And atheists would probably consider him a good moral teacher, you know? So I personally find that following his example of, you know, loving others, be willing to sacrifice for others, forgiving others, even if they're doing things they shouldn't be doing because they don't know better. Mm-hmm. And always just be brave and courageous and follow that path. I think that gives you freedom, because if you don't have those qualities, I think you live in fear.
I love that. I love that. And spirituality and faith and having a North Star, yes, is so important in life. And I know that there is also the hard lines of science. Which again, I love science and I fully believe in science also, but in there's magic. Like in all of it, there's magic. And even if it's not in a creator, or even if it's not in this, you know, in a way that a specific person believes and someone else believes something different, it is just so important to have belief in order to have freedom. And to follow that North Star and to know that everything is possible that you want to do. And then obviously all, you know, all the other teachings of being a good person, and that all just is stuff that makes you feel good. So, I mean, it, like, again, to the people that aren't religious, that aren't spiritual, you know, it's like, I agree with you in the sense that faith has liberated me from so much. And even if it goes down to the point of just being able to see, think that something else is possible, like that is where the magic lies. So I love that. And what is your next big goal for Unleashed Potential? Where are you trying to take it? What, like just laying out what it is that you're looking for. If someone's listening, I know that we talked about scaling the business, hiring more coaches, but I don't know if there's something else that maybe there's someone listening that can be like, I like what that guy's talking about. I love his mission. I love his values. Let me hit him up because I have the solution.
Right. My ultimate goal is to make this as big as I can. Ideally, nationally, I want to see, you know, the special needs community really thrive. I want this community to just be the best it can be. And I really feel like what we're doing here at Unleash Potential is equipping them with the tools necessary to live the most fruitful life that they can. And I really just, my main goal right now, one baby step at a time, you know, Miami, and I want to eventually expand all throughout Florida and just kind of be like that premier, you know, image of what special needs training looks like, right? That I want to be the standard. That's exactly it. I want to be the standard for what special needs trainings looks like. And yeah.
Amazing. So where can people find you?
So they can follow me on social media, Unleashed Potential MIA, or my personal Matthew Guerra, Matthew_Guerra. You know, like I said earlier, I haven't really promoted myself, but I will have a website soon. Okay.
Amazing.
Feel free to follow me on social, DM me if you're interested in connecting. My email is unleashedpotentialmia@gmail.com. And yeah, just there it is.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. Thank you so much for giving me the time and the energy. Every time we are in conversation, your soul just shines. You are such a genuine person. There is no doubt in my head that Unleashed Potential is going to go national, because the level of care that you bring to every interaction you have, the presence you bring to every interaction you have is very felt from the person receiving it. So just my shameless plug for you, if there's anyone out there that is looking for a resource, a remedy, a optimization for someone that they love with special needs, please don't hesitate to reach out to Matthew. Ask him any questions that you may want to ask him. He is a genuinely good soul. So thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you so much. And any last things you want to leave on the risk it table?
No, on the risk it table? I don't know. I think that's it. But I'm just really happy that we had the chance to talk and, you know, do this podcast. So thank you for everything you're doing and spreading the message of other people as well.
Of course. And remember, freedom is on the other side of risk.
Yes.
Let's risk it all, baby.
All day.
All day. Yay, we did it! Awesome.